have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard. Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum. I'm a little late.
I'm Ann Northrup. Most viewers won't know that we had some technical difficulties. They're seeing us at another time.
Okay. I'm just setting the... All right. I'm resetting the stopwatch. Okay. Hi, everybody. I know you just turned in to find out if I'm still alive. I am.
Well, I'm looking for the headlines. There they are. So we have a lot of news this week, and primarily...
Let me just thank Rob Shooter and Maren Johns for filling in for the last couple of weeks. I appreciate it.
They were troopers, and you're a trooper to come back after all you've been through.
So in the news, bad news from some of the states, Arkansas and Tennessee. Arkansas passed a bill allowing the denial of health care to LGBTQ people from people who have religious objections to us.
So if you hear those sirens in the background, they're not coming for you if you're in Arkansas. Still following up on the January 6th insurrection at the Capitol, we now have a picture of a rainbow flag in the midst of the insurrection.
Wow. And there was a rainbow-colored lifeguard station in Long Beach, California, and it was burned to the ground.
A trans man won a lawsuit against a Queens, New York technical school that had subjected him to discrimination and harassment. That's a good piece of news. But a trans woman who won a suit in Brooklyn has not received her damage payments a year later.
Robina Asti, a trans pioneer who won two landmark battles, has died at the age of 99.
That's a good long life. Houston is getting Texas's first LGBTQ affirming senior living facility.
And it's a big one. So some Catholic leaders are pushing back against the Vatican ban on blessing gay unions. And the Pope seems to be trying to have it both ways.
I think there are a lot of leaders pushing back. It's really interesting. The European Union has sanctioned a couple of Chechen leaders over their persecution of gays and lesbians.
The new head of the CDC's campaign for vaccine equality is a gay doctor from New York who will be familiar to viewers of the show.
Marvel Comics reveals its first gay teen Captain America.
And Broadway Backwards is set for March 30th and full of stars.
Okay. But we want to catch you up on some of the political news to begin with, because there is just news busting out all over. First of all, I am thrilled that Deb Haaland has been confirmed as Secretary of the Interior. And she even wore a rainbow striped skirt to celebrate her inauguration.
The first Native American cabinet member in U.S. history. We did have a vice president years ago who was of Native American ancestry, but this is the first cabinet member, and it's a very relevant department, the Interior Department, which used to rule over Native Americans in this country.
It is. And who voted for her? Lindsey Graham. Explain that one. Four Republicans voted for her. One of them was Lindsey Graham.
Shocking. She must have liked her dress.
No homophobic jokes on this show.
No, not at all. Don't you like the dress? I like the dress.
I like it too.
Good. Then there was this development in the Senate this week. Senators Tammy Duckworth of Illinois and Mazie Hirono of Hawaii, they say they're not going to confirm any more Biden nominees who are white or straight until he steps up nominations of Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders. So they're really laying down the law here, and there's been a lot of anger there about the lack of these kind of appointments. And then they said, well, Kamala's, South Asian, is that, and then they got very offended by that.
Well, of course. How dare they say something like that to them? And Duckworth and Hirono are the only Asian ancestry people in the Senate, I believe. So they're a caucus of two at the moment.
Although Kamala is the president of the Senate, so that is true.
Also, she's not a member of the Senate.
Well, she gets to vote in ties, and it's making quite a difference these days.
Yeah.
In Boston, they're getting their first black mayor, Kim Janey. She's taking over for Marty Walsh. She was confirmed as labor secretary. She's 55, and as an 11-year-old child, she was menaced by a white mob in Charlestown in Boston on her way to an integrated school. So that's progress.
It's going to be very interesting to see how Boston reacts to having a black female mayor.
And Chuck Schumer has nominated Damian Williams, the first black person to head the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of New York.
Meanwhile, which would be great, the New York City Mayor de Blasio has now appointed a commission on structural racism. I am gobsmacked at this, that he thinks a commission is going to get rid of structural racism in this city.
They are appointed as a charter revision commission, so they are going to be making recommendations to us, the voters, to vote on to make some substantial changes, and I hope that they do.
Well, I hope they do, too, but it's a stunning idea.
Well, we're not likely to get a gay Latino mayor this year. Carlos Menchaca, who was on the show a couple of weeks ago, is dropping out in his bid for mayor. He remains on the city council.
Good guy, Carlos. Sorry to see him go from the race, but he really was just not getting any support, and he has other things to do. He's done some great stuff on the city council and is young and I think has a bright future ahead of him.
So back to national news, the Equality Act, which had its hearing in the Senate. The Haas Jr. Foundation has coordinated $6.5 million in an effort to conduct an education campaign to pass it in the Senate. It includes the Gill Foundation, Ford Foundation, Horizons, Overbrook, and Pride Foundations. It's not allowed to do direct lobbying, but education. And, you know, we have a lot of education to do because we're up against the Fox News machine, which is doing everything they can to distort this and say, you know,
well, you know, they had the hearing last week. It couldn't have been more depressing and upsetting and really was very disturbing and triggering to trans people because it was just an onslaught of vicious attacks on trans people by the Republican senators, just endless and lies and distortions. And it really made you wonder what whether it was worth it to have that hearing, given the damage that was done by that kind of rhetoric on and on and on. And you know, I don't want to be too pessimistic about this because miracles have happened, especially in the last couple of months. But the prospects for the Equality Act are not good.
Well,
and raising all this money so that these organizations and foundations can say, you know, we fought the good fight, one has to wonder.
I agree. It all comes down to the filibuster. And Angus King, the senator from Maine, who's an independent, said, you know, he explained why he's still for the filibuster, because, you know, he caucuses with the Democrats. They could be in the minority again. And he explained that. But he said, look, if the Republicans do nothing but obstruct, especially on voting rights issues, if that's all they're going to do, he will reconsider that. And then there was an article by some constitutional scholars that said vice presidents who do preside over the Senate, like Richard Nixon and Hubert Humphrey, have made rulings in the past that have trimmed back the filibuster, and Kamala Harris could say, it's unconstitutional, folks. We're not doing it anymore. And that was a big op-ed piece in the Washington Post.
Yeah, but one has to wonder whether they have the guts to do that. And even if they do get rid of the filibuster, do we have the 50 Democratic votes for the Equality Act? I'm not sure we do. And then we have Susan Collins messing around with, well, if you know, you take trans people out of this and you give a lot more religious exemptions, we can do a compromise on this. And I live in terror that they're going to do that.
Did you get in on any of these off the record conversations with the HRC and what they're going to do? Did you listen in? I didn't.
I didn't know they were having them. That's how off the record.
We wouldn't be allowed to talk about it anyway. But yes, we are very concerned that they can't. Look, you can look at language and you can write it in such a way that it doesn't dilute the bill at all, but somehow appeases the other side. I mean, we did that on the gay and lesbian rights bill in New York. We agreed to some changes, but we knew substantively it wasn't changing anything. But it helped explain the bill to people better.
And I'm all for going through these exercises to educate people and to put politicians on the record to make them more subject to pressure. But when I see all this money being spent in what is, I fear, just a PR move by these organizations, it's very, very disturbing.
We obviously do have a lot of educating to do because these canards about what the bill would do have a lot of resonance with some people. They've picked out the hardest issues. And also, in terms of getting rid of the filibuster, we may need that for D.C. statehood. They had a...
They'll need it for everything because the Republicans are blocking everything.
Well, they had a hearing about D.C. statehood, and one of the Republicans said, if they want to have representation, just join Maryland, and don't be part of the district anymore. And then another one said, you can't have a state without car dealerships
and airports. Right.
There are car dealerships in Washington, but it shouldn't make any difference. And another said, well, they have influence in D.C. They can put lawn signs out and we have to pass them on our way to work. I mean, this is a huge issue, and we need two senators there. All right. The White House did do a video on the pandemic and American response and everything, and one of the things they included was a gay male couple kissing in it. So,
well, don't blink or you would have missed it. It lasted for about half a second.
We never miss it. We never miss it here at Gay USA. And the second gentleman, Doug Emhoff, joined Alfonso David of HRC at the 2021 Rainbow Seder for Passover.
Well, also some LGBT people evidently joined the coup attempt at the Capitol a couple of months ago, because there is now a picture. I mean, we knew that there were some people there who claimed to be. But now we see a rainbow flag there on the right side of the picture, right in the middle of the insurrection. We know we're a diverse community. We know that there are people of all sorts of political persuasions. But I have to say my heart sank a little when I saw that rainbow flag at the attempt to overthrow the government.
Sure. Well, the U.S. House reauthorized the 1994 Violence Against Women Act, providing resources for survivors of domestic abuse and sexual violence. It passed 244 to 172. It got a few Republican votes. It lapsed in 2018, but Congress kept funding the programs that did it. Now it goes to the Senate. One of the big contentious issues is that it does include more LGBT stuff and LGBT and trans stuff, for like having trans women having access to shelters and prisons for that matter. So that's where the Republican resistance is coming from.
Well, I feel like I've been nothing but a Debbie Downer on this show today, but the fact that the Republicans have just decided to do absolutely nothing but block all of this legislation is infuriating and depressing. And I really, really want the voters and the Senate Democrats to do something about it.
Right. Indeed, they need to do that.
Maybe we should move to the bad news in the states.
Sure. Well,
I
do want to note that our Department of Justice indicted a Louisiana man for allegedly attempting to kidnap and murder gay men he met on Grindr. This guy, Chance Seneca, and he's charged with hate crime, kidnapping, firearm obstruction, and other charges. He kidnapped two men, planned to dismember and eat one of them, Holden White, 18. This was, you know, this is the finally getting the indictment on this. So it was a brutal kind of a thing. And he faces life in prison, but this is our Department of Justice.
I would think so. He's 19 years old, and Jeffrey Dahmer is his hero.
Yeah, well.
Thus the desire to eat people.
What do you think about the White House firing the people for using marijuana?
And terrible, drugs, terrible.
Hard drugs. They say they're going to be a little bit more lenient if it's just marijuana. It won't automatically disqualify. But good grief, it's 2021?
So I've heard. I thought this was for marijuana.
Some of it was for marijuana. Some of it was for harder drugs. They're saying if it's just marijuana use alone, maybe not. Oh, part of it is security clearances. People who need security clearances can't get them if they have
change the security clearance.
Right.
And it isn't just these five people who were fired. There are dozens more who have been transferred to other jobs or put on suspension or somehow interfered with. And these are people who are not current users. These are people who are former users.
Right.
I guess there's no redemption in the White House. It's terrible.
Right. All right. Let's go to Long Beach, California.
Negative Ann, negative Northrop on Gay USA today. Enjoy. Wait, where are we going? Arkansas?
Long Beach, California. The lifeguards in Long Beach have painted a...
Hey, we've skipped Arkansas. That's really the big headline here.
Well, all right, let's talk about it.
Yeah. So the legislature of Arkansas has passed a bill that allows providers to deny medical care if the people receiving it or the care itself violates their religious principles. This is a very broad bill, and people are afraid that it is going to mean gay couples can't get counseling because that would be considered supporting same-sex marriage.
This is not just religious, which would be bad enough. It's your moral or your ethical beliefs. Well, you can just make those up and say, these are my moral or ethical beliefs, and I don't want to do this, and I'm not doing it.
Certainly, trans people could be denied hormones. People with HIV could be denied drugs. Birth control could be outlawed.
Employers, this is not just, you know, religious hospitals or something like that. Employers, secular employers can say, I have religious objections to certain medical procedures, and we're not covering those in our policies anymore.
Because doctors could override patients' end-of-life instructions, and scientific researchers could refuse to publish their results if they violated their moral beliefs.
Now, Governor Asa Hutchinson has said he's undecided if he's going to sign this one. However, mm-hmm. he is going to sign the ban on trans people in sports, as is the governor of Tennessee, Governor Bill Lee, who's going to sign a trans sports ban.
The governor of South Dakota, Kristi Noem, who has big ambitions, refused to sign the anti-trans sports bill only momentarily. She has asked for a few slight changes, mostly because she thinks if they forbid trans people from participating in college sports, they'll get in trouble with the NCAA. So she wants it cut back to just elementary and high school sports. But she's ready to sign the bill once it's adjusted a little.
Right. Okay. All right. Now can we go to Long Beach?
Sure.
Well, I mean, as I said, the lifeguards there painted their lifeguard stand in pride colors, and we have a picture of it there, and it was burned down this week. Now, Mayor Robert Garcia, who is openly gay, has no doubt that it is a hate crime. I mean, he says there could be no other explanation for this.
Well, there's no flammable point there at the lifeguard station. There's no gas line. There's no nothing that could have spontaneously exploded into flames to burn it down. So clearly someone brought materials there to burn it. It was painted in the rainbow colors last June for Pride and lasted, you know, 8 or 9 months, and now it's gone.
I'm sure they will rebuild it.
So they say.
And in Sarasota, Florida, they're going to install a Pride-focused crosswalk and street mural April 2nd to 12th, the first of its kind in the city, 2,500 square feet, includes the Progress Pride flag, expanding on Gilbert Baker's design to include black, brown, white, pink, and light blue. They want to uplift people of color and trans people. And the city also plans 75 LGBTQ banners on flagpoles in June. And then they have their traditional Pride in October.
This is the function of a new group called Project Pride there that put this together, a visibility campaign, and it's quite visible. It's costing them tens of thousands of dollars. It's not a cheap project. They hired a prominent artist to create that design, which is quite intricate.
By the way, going back to Arkansas and Tennessee and all these bad bills, and the Equality Act for that matter, you know, you talked last week on the show about how the Bostock decision has even been recognized in Texas by the Fifth Circuit, the most conservative in the country. So there is, I mean, when we talk about these things, I think we need to tell people you do have some tools nationally with the Bostock decision, especially in the area of employment, but possibly in other areas, to fight and say if you're discriminated against because of your sexual orientation or your gender identity, that that is sex discrimination under the Civil Rights Act of 1964. I don't think that's being emphasized enough to people.
Well, also, all these laws are going to be challenged in court. The first law like this passed in Idaho, and that bill has been stalled by a court decision that put it on hold and said, no, this cannot go into effect until we adjudicate this because this is on its face discriminatory. So, yes, people are fighting back and there are avenues.
Where are we? We didn't talk anything about all the gun attacks in the last couple of weeks, which are horrendous. The one in Atlanta, which killed 6 Asian women and others. So we have a picture from the rally in New York. Certainly there's much more consciousness of this. And this is part of the reason I think also that Senators Duckworth and Hirono are especially upset because we are in this horrible atmosphere. But, you know, the guy who did it in Atlanta was an evangelical Christian who was drawn to paying for sex, steeped in poisonous religious values about sex. This is part of that, where they teach that sex outside of marriage is evil.
But the other part of that is, who does he blame for that? Women. He goes out and kills women. And certainly racial bias in killing Asian women.
Right. And the guy in Boulder, Colorado has been exposed to, who has killed 10 people, just walks into a supermarket. And he has posted a lot of anti-gay, anti-LGBT stuff on his social media. He's one of these people who said, God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. He actually posted that. So,
well, that picture of the rally, by the way, in New York was taken by our associate producer, Bill Bowman, who reports that there were about 3,000 people there, one of the biggest rallies ever of this kind against anti-Asian hate and discrimination.
I agree about that. But, you know, I mean, again, the news about this is endless. But what can you expect from a country that has let a virus spread out of control and kill, as of today, 543,000 people? I mean, there's an element of a death cult in this country, talking about being negative.
Well, and we just, no, that's my job this week.
Well, we accept it. We don't do anything about it. Other countries do things about this stuff because there are things that can be done. We don't.
Well,
we
remain horrendously divided, and there are plenty of people who do want to do something about it, but then there are the Ted Cruzes and the right-wing Republicans who don't want to do anything about it, and we end up in a stalemate.
Right.
And it's that stalemate that we're living in now that is just horrible. And following up on another story from last week in Fort Lauderdale, where the out gay mayor of Fort Lauderdale was drawing a lot of criticism for giving a plaque honoring the D. James Kennedy Ministries at Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church. And he was sort of saying, oh, so they were anti-LGBT in the past. Get over it. You know, they're our neighbors. And people were losing their minds over this and saying, you're wrong. They're still doing it. They're horrible. They've done years of conversion therapy and hateful rhetoric. Well, Dr. Frank Wright, who was the president of the Kennedy Ministries, is sneering at us and at the mayor and saying, you know, we're not giving up any of our beliefs. We're going right after all of you still. And the mayor, we're not bowing down to the mayor and saying that we've gotten past that. So it's really ugly.
It is. It is indeed. All right. And of course, following up from the last couple of weeks, Governor Cuomo's accusers continue to multiply. But a Republican who was going to challenge him for governor, Tom Reed, who's in the U.S. House, apparently was pawing at a woman in a bar a couple of years ago. And he's now not going to run for governor, and he's not going to run for reelection for the House.
I'm always astonished at these guys who have these reports against them. They are drunk, crazy drunk in a bar, and he's reaching up under her skirt and reaching into her blouse. And then he says later, I didn't do that. I have no memory of doing that. Well, of course you don't. You were drunk.
Twice was I drunk last night. I don't remember a thing. It's a line from The Boys in the Band. All right. Well, but Governor Cuomo, I don't know, has a history of alcoholism or drinking, and he just, you know, won't take
it. He was doing it during the day in his office. I don't know that he was drunk.
All right. Well, let's. We have an encouraging story out of Queens, New York.
Okay.
A guy named Danny Hart, a Puerto Rican trans man. He won a $25,000 settlement against a Queens trade school, Apex Technical. He wanted to wanted to repair air conditioners, learn how to do it. But an employee there, and they denied him restroom access to the appropriate restroom. They exposed him as trans in front of the students, and then the students started harassing him. So he went to the Human Rights Commission, and they backed him up in a year-long suit, and he's moved to Florida, where he says, first he returned back to the Army, and then he managed a bar, but now he's enjoying, as he says, a stealth life as one of the guys.
Not since this became public.
Well, you never know.
But good for you, Danny. We support you. He lasted 2 days at that school, but the harassment was so horrible, he had to leave.
And they're supposed to do trainings for staff and all that, and we hope they do. But he was helped by the Human Rights Commission, and the Human Rights Commission also won a suit for a trans woman over a year ago named Gianna Desir. She had been harassed by a real estate broker. She won $50,000 in damages, and the real estate broker was also supposed to pay $25,000 to the city in other damages. Won't pay. So this is a year later. They used Gianna in a campaign about what great work they're doing at the Human Rights Commission, but they're not getting her paid.
Well, they've now referred it over to the Law Commission or the Law Department, which has issued a new demand for the money from the real estate broker. But somehow I don't think he's going to be too fast in coughing this up. They're going to have to attach his bank accounts or something.
Sure.
In other legal news, in Pennsylvania, Patricia Roffingsmeyer, is suing the government for survivor benefits. She married Tina Sammons in 2013 in Maryland. Tina's on the left, the late Tina, and Patricia's on the right. Tina, who the late spouse, had been in the Air Force and worked for the post office. And so she has a lot of government survivor benefits going to her her surviving spouse. But she died 3 months after the marriage. Even though they've been together for 16 years, the government says they were not married long enough. And so Patricia is suing to overcome that ruling. The Biden Justice Department is now pondering their stance in the case. I would certainly hope they'd see the light. There have been previous cases like this where the Social Security Administration has tried the same stuff about you weren't married long enough. They couldn't get married until a certain point, and they got married as soon as they could. And the fact that she died 3 months later is not something they should be penalized for.
Well, I think that's a good segue to talk about the passing of Robina Osti, a trans pioneer dead at 99. Now, Robina, we have a couple of pictures of her. She was a World War II vet, mutual fund executive. She was married for many, many years to a man, and she had to fight for her husband's Social Security benefits in 2012 because the agency said that she was not legally a woman when she was married, though most of her government IDs and her Social Security card were in her recognized her as a woman. So Lambda Legal took up her case and won, and the Social Security Administration changed its rule regarding transgender survivors and the documentation required to prove gender. Now, she was also a licensed pilot and instructor since her 20s, and she flew every weekend into her 90s. Her last flight was in July, setting a record for the world's oldest active pilot and flight instructor. She was born in Manhattan, raised in Greenwich Village, and survived by her daughters and a son and five grandkids. But she began to transition in the mid-1970s. She and her grandson, Eric Hummel, founded something called the Cloud Dancers Foundation, assisting older transgender people.
And she was quite the pioneer, although not political about it, until she had to fight for the Social Security benefits.
We're gonna send in our email. You can sign up for our email by going to our website, gayusatv.org, and two videos, about one about her case right before she won it, and another, a TED Talk that she gave. They're short, and she's a fascinating character. She's 99, you know, she was in her 90s when she did these, and she said her advice to younger transgender people is, you know, I had a lot of trouble with my family and my own kids and things like that. Be patient was her advice, of course.
Give them time. Give them time. It's a shock to them when they first hear it. Give them time to figure it out and get used to it. Things will get better.
Fascinating, fascinating story.
Absolutely. All right. Now to the usual and depressing section of the program where we talk about trans people who have been violently attacked. In L.A., in California, a trans woman, Rayana Pardo, 26 years old, harassed by a group of people, including her boyfriend, who reputedly pushed her into the street where she was hit by a car and killed.
And, you know, her mother got a call from her just before this happens. And she said, Rayana said, "Mama, if anything happens to me tonight, I just want to tell you that I love you." Now, the authorities do say the death remains suspicious, but have not ruled it whether it's an accident or a deliberate act.
Evidently, the driver was a drunk driver, but I don't know how that plays into this. In Philadelphia, a trans woman, 32 years old, viciously stabbed by a guy who had taken her home. And, you know,
taken her home to the house he shares with his mother.
And he attacked her so viciously that his mother called the cops. He is charged with rape and assault. She survived the attack, but not easily.
Critical condition.
And in Baltimore, we're just finding out that a trans woman, Kim Wirtz, 43 years old, died in jail a month ago. The cause is not clear yet. She was housed in, however, in the men's part of the jail.
And we were concerned and a little sad to see in New York that Judge Paul Feinman, who was the first openly gay person appointed to the state of New York's highest court, the Court of Appeals, has just retired at 61 due to some health condition that hasn't been specified. But we are sorry to see him go, and we wish him well.
Very sudden news, unexpected, just suddenly walked away. The chief judge, Janet DeFiore, called him an exceptional judge and a magnificent human being who has made an extraordinary contribution to this institution. Another judge called him a wonderful colleague. I've rarely seen such nice things said about anyone.
And they said a great advocate for the LGBTQ community.
Absolutely. In Park City, Utah.
Oh, yes.
Here's a good news story. The high school there brought in some new software to their computer system, and suddenly the students were unable to access anything that said gay, lesbian, trans, bi. They found this out because they were in the middle of a class where they were trying to investigate what was going on in Poland with gay people. I like the fact that in Park City, Utah, they're studying what's going on with gay people in Poland.
Well, they watch the show. They were watching the issue.
Well, they couldn't get in. They couldn't get to these stories because the computer system was blocking them. And then they looked around some more and saw that they were really shut out of everything. And so they went to the principal and raised holy hell and said, how dare you have a computer system that blocks us out? And the principal, to his credit, said, oh, I had no idea, blah, blah, blah. We'll fix it. So victory for the Park City High School students.
You are welcome to show Gay USA to the class every week. We don't charge for free broadcast.
However, big asterisk, the Black Lives Matter phrase is still blocked in the computer system. I suspect that will be changed too, but that was the footnote to the story.
Well, things are changing in Houston. In the Montrose section, they have their first LGBTQ-affirming senior living facility in Texas. It's one of the largest in the country, 112 units. It's called the Law Harrington Senior Living Center, open to all seniors, 62 and over, who meet low-income guidelines. It's got two-bedroom independent living apartments and social services, geriatric care, group dining, and more activities.
Everything's bigger in Texas.
Oh, and then Brad Holman just passed a bill on our behalf for LGBTQ seniors in New York to funnel more services to us, older people.
That's nice.
Yeah, that passed the House. We'll see if it goes past the House.
All right. Yeah. Moving on.
Well,
crossing the ponds?
Yes. Well, crossing the ocean to the Vatican, which was a big story last week, that the Vatican issued an edict, which was blessed by the Pope, that said you can't bless gay unions because you can't bless sin. All right.
Outward. Terrible.
So this was from the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. Now, the Bishop of Antwerp, Belgium, said he feels vicarious shame for my church. He apologized and said God has never been stingy or pedantic with his blessing of people. In Germany, 1,000, mostly priests, signed a petition saying they will not refuse to give these blessings, and they called for pastoral disobedience. And then there's
Cardinal Dolan in New York, who said, hey, it's what the Bible says. What's your problem?
The Bible. Yeah.
What a guy. What a guy.
Going to be eating that lobster tonight, Cardinal Dolan? It's against the Bible, too. So the Pope spoke rather cryptically on Sunday about this, about compassion and tenderness and against theoretical condemnations and for gestures of love and against clerical moralism. Well, would you just clarify it? Would you just spit it out and say what they said was wrong and it's awful? And he doesn't do that. He just throws around this stuff. And that's where Mary McAleese comes in. All right.
These popes, you may think they're, what's the word? They can do no wrong. They are always right. What's the word I'm
saying? It's cathedra. Infallible.
Infallible. But in fact, they are the pawns of the system at the Vatican. There are a whole bunch of people there who are controlling what they do. And if they step out of line, then they get poisoned like the guy some decades ago.
So Mary McAleese is the former president of Ireland and herself a trained canon lawyer, C-A-N-O-N lawyer. That's her with her gay son, Justin. And she wrote to the Catholic Primate of Ireland, calling the document from the Vatican a litany of judgmental statements wrapped in syrupy language, really calling it unbearably vicious language. And of the Pope, she said, when he's on a plane shooting the breeze with journalists, he's the populist Pope who is trumpeted as the great reformer, a label he seems to relish. Behind his desk, he's the Pope who toes the old hard line. And she also used Ann Northrup's language about this, calling the ban gratuitously cruel in the extreme.
The cruelty in this world is what really upsets me on a daily basis. But she and Justin and Justin's husband and the whole family are going to march in the Pride Parade in Dublin in June. It'll be her first Pride Parade. I was surprised at that. I thought she might have been there earlier, but this will be her first. But it's just before the Vatican-sponsored World Meeting of Families in Dublin in August. So this is going to be some contrasting messages here.
The Association of Catholic Priests in Ireland called the Vatican statement unwise in content and timing, contradictory and condemnatory. The certainty with which the Vatican assumes what God can and cannot do is breathtaking, they said.
I don't think the World Meeting of Families is going to get an entirely positive reception in Dublin in August.
Well, Ireland is one of the most progressive nations in the world right now.
My point exactly. And then there's that group of liberal Catholic priests or bishops or cardinals in Austria that was one of the first to come out against what the Vatican was saying about us. But it's all over the world and all over the United States, too.
Well, it's all over the world. It's mostly in the West. I mean, the future of the church is in Africa, Asia, you know, et cetera. Although Latin America, of course, has come along tremendously on these issues.
Yeah. Well, I return to my statement that it was just tremendously, as the Equality Act hearings were upsetting to trans people, the Vatican statement was cruel to practicing Catholics around the world.
Shame on them. Yeah. In London, the entire Pride in London Community Advisory Board resigned. Citing a hostile environment for volunteers of color, they called for new leadership and for City Hall to investigate bullying allegations. Mayor Sadiq Khan said he takes those allegations seriously. How's our Reclaim Pride coming?
We have our own diversity consultants, have had from the beginning, and we take all of that very seriously. And no one's doing anything like bullying or being creating a hostile environment. The council that resigned, the advisory board, said that the pride, and this is the mainstream pride, is a personal project of a privileged few. And the Pride people said, we need to rebuild trust. We are conducting a review.
You need to rethink the whole thing like Reclaim Pride did.
Yes.
We had a great time in our marches.
Well, they need to get rid of the corporate floats, and they need to get rid of the regiments of police.
Right.
Those are the starting blocks.
All right. The European Union has imposed sanctions on Monday on two Russians accused of persecuting gay people in Chechnya. Senior officials, one of whom was already sanctioned by the United States, the Chechen leader Ramzan Kadyrov, is also under U.S. sanctions, but for other reasons.
So the European Union is freezing the assets of these guys and imposing travel bans. I don't know how many assets these guys have in the European Union, but if they do, they're frozen. In Thailand, we're awaiting a ruling expected on April 26th on whether they will legalize same-sex marriage. We will let you know when we know about that. An exciting development in China, where three lawyers and one law professor have started a nonprofit to help LGBT people. They are, Lambda Legal is their model for this, and it's the first independent nonprofit organization that is going to start bringing cases in Chinese courts to try to help LGBT people. They're going to train more lawyers. They will raise money to fund 100 plus lawyers who are ready to help on these cases, and they're going to educate LGBT people in China about their rights and educate legislators too.
Almost 50 years ago, Lambda Legal was the first organization to be recognized by New York State with the word gay in their paperwork. You know, that became a big, they had to go to court to do it in New York.
Bikes on Bikes had a big problem getting recognized in New York. It's a long story.
Let's give folks an update on North Korea's only openly gay defector, Zhang Yong-jin. He says he's marrying his American boyfriend 25 years later. He met somebody back in 2004 who defrauded him of his life savings. But last year at 62, he met a Korean-American restaurant owner back home. But this is the hard part of the story. Because he defected back home, several of his relatives were banished to the freezing north over his defection. Six died from hunger and illness. His ex-wife, however, did manage to remarry.
And what one thing I found fascinating about the story is his description of how when he defected, he had no language for what he was feeling. He'd been married to a woman, and yes. It didn't work for him, but he didn't
know anything.
He couldn't describe what was going on. He just knew he had to get out of there. And he talks about how there is no concept of homosexuality in North Korea. It is just...
Well, you know, for people a little older than us, but even us when we were little, there was so little information that it was we engaged in a lot of denial about this could possibly be happening to us. Because it wasn't possible.
But he didn't even have that, because he wasn't in denial. He was in complete ignorance of any such phenomenon. There was no language he was familiar with. There was no image he was familiar with. It wasn't that he was denying that that was him. He didn't know there was a thing to be or not be. And neither does anyone else in North Korea.
But he knew something was going on, and that got him out. He knew he couldn't respond to his wife, and he felt it was unfair to her, and he didn't want to live that way the rest of his life.
But the concept of an entire society that is completely ignorant of this as a concept, I think, is a striking phenomenon.
You and I have done education with people from overseas sometimes who work here. I remember a whole group of people from Nigeria, and they said, this is very interesting to us because we don't have homosexuality in Nigeria.
It's in Chechnya. There are no gays in Chechnya. We're not abusing them. They're not here. In Namibia, the government has denied entry to twin children of gay dads who are in Namibia. They were born to a surrogate in South Africa, but Namibia will not let them in because they won't recognize the gay dads as a family with these kids. A big protest march tomorrow, Thursday, we're taping on Wednesday, to go to the court hearing about this government refusal. We'll let you know more about that next week. And in Turkey, Turkey has withdrawn from the EU's domestic violence Istanbul Convention, ironically. Why? Because they say that going after domestic violence undermines the family and legitimizes LGBT people.
All right.
As right wingers here object to the Violence Against Women Act,
Shall we move on to AIDS and health news?
We shall.
We do want to note the passing of Ken Jacobson. An ACT UP, we have a picture of him. That's him front and center there, an ACT UP demo in 1992 in Times Square, front and center. He was Tony Arena says he was 92, active with ACT UP and Treatment and Data wrote songs recorded by Peggy Lee, Sinatra, Johnny Mathis, Ella Fitzgerald, the Partridge Family, among many others. He wrote a Broadway musical called A Picnic called Hot September. Greg Gonsalves called him a moderating influence in treatment of data among hotheads. And Tony, Irina, thank you very much for sharing this news, albeit sad.
He was a great guy, a real sweetheart. I had no idea of his songwriting career. It's amazing. He said Ella Fitzgerald was his best and kindest collaborator of a long, long list of people. And yeah, an elder in the Treatment and Data Committee. Great guy. Ken Jacobson, sorry to see he's gone.
It's nice to see that enrollment in the ACA has surged under Biden, more than 200,000 signing up for health insurance in the first 2 weeks of open enrollment with aid from the $1.9 trillion stimulus bill. Even Alabama and Wyoming have signed up for Medicaid expansion now.
Well, yeah, they've discovered they can get money. Congratulations to our friend, Dr. Dimitri Daskalakis, who you've seen on this show more than once, worked for the New York City Health Department and then recently moved to the CDC in the Biden administration and has now been appointed Senior Vaccine Equity Lead. It is his job to make sure that the COVID vaccines get to everyone without differentials in terms of race or class or whatever.
He's up against it. For the first couple of months, they didn't even collect race data on who they were vaccinating.
Yeah.
So anyway, but he reports directly to the CDC director, Rochelle Walensky, who is the director of the CDC.
One thing I'd like him to work on is the fact that the U.S., speaking of ACT UP, we were working on this 30 years ago, the U.S. still protecting the patent profits of the big pharma companies. The U.S. and other countries are fighting poor countries' access to the vaccines. And the World Health Organization has always said poorer countries should have better access. And the big countries are fighting that and protecting the pharmaceutical companies.
And in the spirit of doom and gloom, when I read that 25% of U.S. House members have not been vaccinated, 40% of Republicans say they won't get the shot. You know, it's easy to say we don't care what happens to them, but if we don't get this under control here and abroad, this thing is never going to end.
I've had my shots. Andy's had his shots. But we're still, other than on the show taping from our homes, we are wearing masks.
We're worried about the variants.
Oh, very.
And which these vaccines that we have are not effective against some of these variants. So we're going to have to take precautions. Got to slow it down. I'm worried about everybody going back to the office. All right. Entertainment news?
Yes. Marvel Comics is making Aaron Fisher.
Yes.
The first gay teen Captain America of the railways. Evidently, they have a number of different Captain America manifestations, and he's the first out gay teen version of Captain America.
He is a fearless teen who stepped up to protect fellow runaways and the homeless. Anyway, all right. I watched.
And he's being drawn by a trans artist, Jan Basil Dua.
We'll include this in our email this week, but you really probably want to tune in to Broadway Backwards on March 30th at 8 p.m., and it's going to run until April 3rd. The numbers of stars, it's unbelievable. This is something that Broadway Cares and the LGBT Community Center put on, where Broadway stars sing the songs of the other sex that are generally sung by the other sex. And it's a wonderful show. I could go on. I'll list all these wonderful people who are going to be in it.
You may also want to tune into the GLAAD Media Awards on April 8th, because besides being hosted by Niecy Nash, they are going to feature a reunion of the Glee cast in a tribute to Naya Rivera, who played the lesbian Santana on the show. And it will be introduced by Demi Lovato, who played Santana's girlfriend on Glee.
Okay. Ann and I are going to have a disagreement now because I liked Promising Young Woman, or I thought it was an important film starring Carey Mulligan. It really kept me off balance. It's about the costs of not taking sexual harassment and rape seriously. There's a picture of Carey with Laverne Cox. Carey works at Laverne Cox's
coffee shop.
I do think this is something for men worth seeing about who don't really, especially a guy like Cuomo, not understanding the damage that he does with his sexual harassment.
I did not buy it. I like the cameos by Laverne Cox and Jennifer Coolidge and Molly Shannon. There are a lot of nice little cameos in it. But I thought it was kind of cheesy, and I thought it was more exploitative of the subject. I did not think it was a sophisticated take on it. If it educates men on this, fine and dandy. I'm all for it, but I didn't like it.
So that's one thumb up and one thumb down.
This is Siskel and Ebert, Ann and Andy.
And I'm sort of curious to see Ian McKellen returning to the role of Hamlet 50 years later. That's him doing it 50 years ago. He's now 82. It will open this summer at the Theater Royal Windsor, and co-star Francesca Annis. It's billed as age, color, and gender blind.
Well, since it's supposed to be a play about a young man, it'll be very interesting to see how that plays.
They're actors, right? Anybody can play anybody. We'll see.
But I would hope that you wouldn't just see it as an old guy playing a young guy, that you would take it as an old guy, and is that a different interpretation of the play? No.
We will see.
Of course, then his mother. How do we deal with that?
We will see if he can work his magic.
One of my little routines is that I do the New York Times Sunday crossword puzzle. Mm-hmm. Every week. It's just a little way to keep my brain fresh. Well, imagine my surprise when I'm in the middle of doing it last Sunday, and the clue for 82 across is like many characters in Alison Bechdel's cartoons. And the answer is lesbian.
Whoa!
Of course, it should have been Dyke, but because her cartoons were dykes to watch out for. But
we are everywhere. We get into Jeopardy clues a lot these days too.
Yeah, but the New York Times Sunday crossword puzzle, lesbian. They're about 50 years behind the times, but that's okay.
Well, they do. Poor Ellen DeGeneres. Her show has lost half of her viewers following all the reports of workplace harassment and things like that. So she's now sort of in the second tier of talk shows due to the drop in ratings.
Now, do you think it's because of the specific charges, or do you think people just don't like hearing something serious? They like the sort of fantasy of the fun games, and when it turns serious, they said, I'm out of here.
Well, you know, Rosie kind of went through this too, right? You know, she was the queen of nice, and then
she wasn't.
Well, thanks for everybody being with us. We're down to our last 15 seconds. It's good to be back. Nice to see you, Ann.
I think we have 25 seconds, but whatever. That's my count. Good to see you, Andy. Good to see you looking so good. Let's keep doing this for a little while.
All right, a little while. Thanks. Thanks for being with us. Sign up for our email. Go to gayusatv.org.
See you next week. And thank you again, Maren and Rob, for sitting in.
Thank you.